A lot of our people are traveling for Labor Day weekend, and obviously we pray for their safe return. But because you are here, I'm going to let you in on a little inside information. All right. September 23rd is, of course, our church picnic. You know that, have read that or seen that, but that's we're going up on the hill of our new property, and we're going to have a lot of just good time out there. But also, I want you to know that before everyone leaves, and we're going to go out to the field, and our property, where the new building will be located, will be sectioned off. And we're going to, you'll be able to see where the children's area, high school and middle school, auditorium, it'll all be checked off so you can see that. And we're going to take just 10 minutes, and you'll be able to go to any place you want on that property, in that building, so to speak, and you can pray over the children's area, or you'll pray with over the high school, middle school. But we're just going to pray on our property to just take 10 minutes of our picnic time to do that. So we want you to come and see where it's staked off and see the size of it and what God is going to do through that ministry. And I call a building a ministry because it allows us to expand what we're already doing to touch lives and to make a difference in our community. So you know that a week ahead of everybody else because you were here today. Congratulations. We're in a study and an initiative that we call Love Your Neighbor. And there are five holy habits, if you will, spiritual habits that we've been studying, and we want to make them part of our daily lives, to create a lifestyle where we see people the way Jesus sees them. And a lifestyle that hopefully will change our church, change our community as we reach out, as we live for our Father. Now, the homework assignment last week was, by your feedback, the most difficult, listening to God. And the homework was 3 days, three times this past week, you were to set a time to spend 15, 20 minutes in silence, in solitude. Turn off the radio, the TV, the distractions, your phone, and just spend 20 minutes listening to God through your thoughts to see if He would lay something on your heart. And some of you tried it. Some of you did not do as well as you wanted to do. But I just don't want you to give up. I just want to encourage you. Try it again from time to time. And just develop that time of spending time alone with God. So we have blessed people 3 weeks ago. We have eaten with people, which is one of your favorites. We have spent time listening to God. So today we're going to talk about learn. That is our holy habit, learning from God. Before we get into it, let's pray. Father, thank you just for this time to enter your word in study and to learn from it. And I pray that you will help us do that today, that we will become serious about our time in your word and learning from you. So thank you for blessing us. In Christ's name, amen. There's an old movie called City Slickers. Some of you remember it well. In this movie, Billy Crystal plays a confused, dissatisfied 39-year-old man, sort of going through a middle age crisis. He's got a sense that life is passing him by. So he decides to try a dude ranch to maybe clear things up. And there he meets Curly, an old leathery cowboy, wise to the ways of the world. And in a conversation they're having as they're herding cattle, Curly tells him he knows the secret to life. And he offers to share it. He says it's one thing. That's the secret to life. Pursuing one thing. And this appeals to Crystal because he's divided. He's torn between his obligation to his family and career advancement. He's torn between the need for security and the appetite for excitement. His life is about many things. And so it's really about nothing. And he asks, well, what's the one thing? And Curly says, you got to find that out yourself. The secret of life, pursuing one thing. And if you pursue the right thing, everything else falls into place. Family, career, priorities, relationships. The only question, and it's a big question, is what is the one thing? Well, several years ago, I was reading a passage in Philippians, a passage I had read dozens of times, a passage familiar to you. And as I read it, it was almost as if there was a light blinking in my head that the Holy Spirit was trying to get my attention and say, David, this is it. Right here, this is the one thing. It's in this passage, so don't miss it. And in this passage, it begins with the Apostle Paul listing his spiritual resume. And it's a one in a million heritage. All the things that had happened to him, all the things he had accomplished, it was amazing. But then he writes this. Those things, his spiritual resume, were important to me, but now I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. Not only those things, but I think all things are worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have lost all those things, and now I know they are worthless trash. I want to know Christ and the power that raised him from the dead. I want to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death. So did you see the one thing? I want to know Christ and be like Christ. I want to know everything I can about the Son of God and then emulate his lifestyle. And as I do that, I will find others who want to know the secret of life. And I can invite them to join me, which builds a community of like-minded people all seeking and wanting the same thing, to know Jesus Christ and to live like Jesus. So I want you to go out there and know Jesus and live like Jesus. So that about wraps it up this Labor Day weekend, so I can dismiss you early. Yeah, I wish it was that simple. Where I just say, hey, know Jesus, live like Jesus, and you, oh, great, everybody goes out. It doesn't happen that way. We must learn his words. We must immerse ourselves in Scripture. This God-inspired book reveals Jesus to us. But how are we going to read the Bible in a way that will renew our minds, that will transform our lives, that will help us look like Jesus and live like Jesus? Paul once told Christian husbands to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. We, God's community, the church, are to be washed through his word. Now, what does that mean? Well, when I was in college, we had a guy on our dorm floor that washed his clothes once a semester. It was bad. I mean, his socks were so putrid, and I'm not making this up, that his roommate, who was dying, I mean, just living with this guy, took his socks and put them on a concrete brick wall, and they stuck. You feel a lot better about your own kids right now, don't you? When we throw clothes in the washing machine, soap and water move through the fibers of that soiled fabric, and it lifts out the dirt and the grime so they won't stick to a wall. And after washing, we can see the fabric in the state for which it's originally intended. It's softer. It smells better. It's the way it was supposed to be, the way we bought it. Well, when we read the Bible to know Christ and be like Christ, our minds and hearts are cleansed of sinful beliefs and attitudes. I mean, imagine for a moment having a mind cleansed of all the ugly worldly debris that stifles our best intentions. Imagine if each time you saw another person, your first thought would be to pray for them, not judge them, not to see them in their sins, but to pray for them. Imagine what it would be like if any time you're worried or have an anxious thought, you would stop and pray to God for strength, claiming those promises in His Word, and God would grant you the strength to lean on Him. Imagine if you're a married man that whenever you looked at another woman other than your wife, you would see her as if she were your sister or your daughter. Imagine genuinely wishing your enemies well. That is what it's like to have a mind washed by the Word so that we can know Christ and be like Christ. I've never known a Christian who lived such a life who wasn't deeply immersed into the Word of God, who read it daily, who loved reading the Word. The Bible is the key. Now the problem is that very few believers develop a serious loyalty when it comes to reading the Bible daily. The United States is arguably the most the most religious nation in the developed world, but it's also religiously ignorant. Across all demographic groups, America's favorite book is the Bible, but we know very little about it. Bible reading has become the religious equivalent of soundbite journalism. We know just enough to be dangerous, and we take verses out of context or parts of verses out of context, or we just mess up the quote itself and we change it around. When people read from the Bible, they typically open it and read just a very short passage, maybe a verse or two, and then they ask themselves, well, how does this make me feel? Well, if it makes me feel good, then I say, oh, okay, thank you, God, and we close the Bible and walk off. But if we look at it, we say, I just don't feel good about this. I'm not sure I believe this. So this is irrelevant to my life, so I'm not going to do it. And we go by our feelings and emotions. And research has shown that most of us, by the time we reach the age of 13 or 14, if we're raised in church, we think we know pretty much everything of value the Bible has to offer. And we're really no longer interested in learning more. We know enough. And that's one reason why the average believer in this country is not living like Christ. So what do we do? How do we change this? Well, if you really want to live like Christ, you've got to know Him. And to do that, you must be in His Word. So I'm going to give you your homework assignment in just a minute. But let me share with you several sensible, practical thoughts on Bible reading. All right, just to help you out, just to build a foundation here. First, always couple prayer with Bible study. Now, you would think that's pretty common sense, that prayer and Scripture go hand in hand. But most of us don't. Let's pray before you open the Bible. Ask God to speak to you, and He will. Christian teacher John Ortberg tells the story of Ellen. She is a woman who had nothing to do with God, nothing to do with church. She reached adulthood. She was in depression and discouragement, and nothing was going right. She couldn't sleep one night. She came downstairs. She thought, well, maybe I can find something to read. And she started going through the desk with all its drawers, and she pulled out and found a Bible that had belonged to her mother. And she thought, well, maybe this will help. It'll put me to sleep. So she opened the Bible and she saw there was an old part and a new part. She decided to read the new part because she thought maybe they updated the old part. And as the clock struck midnight, she sat down on her living room floor and she started reading from the book of Matthew. And 3 hours later, when she was halfway through the book of John, she realized she had fallen in love with the person called Jesus. And she prayed, something she had never done before. And she said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know if I'm doing it right. But I just want you to know that I want this person, Jesus, in my life and in my heart. And I want to be like him. We want to know Christ. And we want to be like Christ. The message of the Bible is not just that help is coming, but help has already arrived. So before you read, acknowledge Jesus is with you and ask him to wash your mind so that you can know him and be like him. And as you read, certain ideas may strike you. Certain people may be placed upon your heart, almost a burden. You're going to be moved in reading about God's love. So love that person that you thought of. Sometimes the Bible will convict you of sin. You've got a habit in your life that is not good, that is not Christian, and you're going to be convicted of that, and God's going to say, hey, it's time to change your life. If you want to live like my son, you need to change this. You may be prompted to take some course of action. Listen to that because you prayed for guidance. Be open to the possibility God is speaking to you through his word. Now, secondly, I would tell you, as practicality goes, your goal in reading the Bible is transformation. Gaining the knowledge is important because we want to know Christ, but we want to know Christ for the purpose of being like Christ, because it's possible to read Scripture without being washed in the Word. Jesus once confronted the religious leaders of his day on how they prided themselves on how well they knew the Old Testament. And Jesus told them, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life. They assumed their knowledge of the Scriptures was proof of their spiritual greatness, but they never allowed the Bible's teachings on humility to cleanse their mind of pride. They never allowed its teachings on love to purge their judgmental spirit. They did not recognize the truth of Jesus' teachings, and they didn't apply it to their lives, and it did them no good. They were not transformed. They were not like Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, I've fallen into this same trap before. I've got this type A personality that at seasons it's very severe type A personality. And when it comes time to read the Bible, sometimes during those periods, I'll grab my Bible and I'll look at it and I'll attack the Bible. I'll say, okay, we're going to cover these 8 chapters today. And I'm going to read and I read and I read. And I do it not so that I can be transformed, but so I can check it off my list. Okay, I did my Bible reading today. I'm a good Christian. I got nothing out of it. It's as if I tell my wife, hey, Kim, I read my Bible today. And Kim goes to the refrigerator where I have a chart and she puts on a gold star. And I got my gold star. I read the Bible today, but it didn't do me any good. The goal is not for us to get through Scripture. The goal is for Scripture to get through us. In our minds, in our hearts. so that we can be transformed, so we can live like Jesus. I tell people, I'd rather you read one paragraph of the Bible and read it well and read it slow and meditate on it so you can see what it says to you than to have you read five chapters and have no idea what you read. Let the Scriptures work through you. Some assume the way to transformation is knowledge. That as our knowledge of the Bible rises, well, then our spiritual maturity rises. But that's not always the case. Take what you have and apply it. Bible knowledge is wonderful. It's necessary. It's important. But it doesn't lead alone to transformation. The change takes place when we learn something and apply it to our lives and say, I want to live like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And when you pursue that one thing, you're going to find it. Okay, thirdly, transformation is a team activity, all right? I think you should have your alone times where you read the Bible alone, where you're listening to God alone. But you can't do everything alone. If all you do is read the Bible and walk into this room and soak up more Bible, you're going to find the transformation process difficult and slow and often distracting. You need help. You need accountability. You need community. Hey, we're talking practical stuff, so let me give you some practical advice. I think you need to study with others as well. Whether that's a small group, or maybe it's a Bible study, or maybe it's a Sunday morning class, but you need to be with others, to read the Bible alone, but to read it with others and study it with others. I truly believe in the 1+1+1 lifestyle for a believer. 1 hour of worship every week, 1 hour of study every week, and 1 hour of service every week. And I say that sometimes, and people say, well, that's going to take up my whole week. Okay, there's 168 hours in a week. I'm talking three hours. That's not going to trash your TV viewing or your gardening or your sleep cycle or following your fantasy football team. It's not. It just won't. 3 hours. Worship, Bible study, service, serving others in some way. Your Bible study at some point must include community. Other people pursuing the same goal that you are. You want to know Christ, you want to be like Christ. Our church is built on relationships. Relationships form in small groups of people. It's the key to a church's health, being together, striving to know Christ and be like Christ. Now, one problem with American Christians is that we're a little lazy. We want results without work. We want change without challenge. We want strength without suffering. We want community without commitment. We want to know Christ and we want to be like Christ, but we want it in pill form. And maybe there's a pill I can take and the transformation then will take place. And it doesn't. Transformation requires effort. It takes time. It takes involvement. We can't give you a pill, but we try to do the best we can to make it easy for you, to give you options. That's why we have small groups that meet during the week. That's why we have classes on Sunday, women's and men's Bible studies. We will help you find the right study for you, the right time, the right place. We will do that for you. All you have to do is ask one of the ministers. All you have to do is text us or email us through the website. Let us know or talk to us on Sunday morning. Hey, I want to be a part of a Bible study. I want to be part of a small group. I think I need that. Can you help me? We're here to help you. All right, here's your homework this week. I want you to read one or more of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. All right, you may not be able to read the whole thing. That's fine. But read a portion of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. All four share the life of Jesus Christ. Now, most of us know about the highlights of Jesus' life. We know about his birth because we like Christmas. And we know about his death because that came at Easter time. And so we know about the resurrection that followed. And we know maybe a couple of miracles and a couple of parables. But for the most part, we don't know how it relates to our lives. We just know the highlights. But I want you to spend time this week, every day, just put aside, maybe it's just a chapter, maybe it's just a paragraph, but to read about Jesus' life from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Some of you have your own devotion time every day. Praise God for you. I'm so happy for you. Don't replace it with this. You can do both. Just read a chapter. But out of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And I tell you what we're going to do. Late in October, I'm going to help you out because we're going to study the first two chapters of Luke together. That will be the text for our sermons from October into Christmas. And we're going to look at it and we're going to see what is in here that really can help me. And maybe we'll take on another chapter or two every year and until we finish the book of Luke sometime about the year 2072. Okay? Well, hopefully it won't take that long. But we're going to take a gospel because we need to focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well as learn the other things. We're not going to neglect the rest of the Bible. But I believe that we need some focus time on Jesus Christ. Because if we know Jesus, then we can be like Him. Let me close by telling you a story that I read recently. It was a woman living in Ethiopia. She was 99 years old. And she was blind. And she was illiterate. She lived in a small hut in a small village. And she had two Bibles on her table. One in her native language and one in English. And whenever a visitor came to spend time with her, she would ask that visitor, "Would you mind reading the Bible to me?" And this went on for years and years and years until she became so familiar with some of the passages that she was able to recite them from memory. And whenever one of her visitors came who was also illiterate, who could not read, as a gift for coming to visit her, she would recite a passage in this beautiful, emotional voice as if she were living the passage. And word spread to other villages about this woman. And visitors would come, complete strangers, who would sit and listen to her read from memory the Word of God. Now, why would they come from far away for an elderly, blind, illiterate widow? They came because when she would say, "The Lord is my shepherd," those words became real. And it was obvious that this woman knew the great shepherd, knew the Lord. And they wanted to be able to read and know Scripture like her, to have it be a real part of their life, to have it come alive when they shared it with others. I want to know Jesus, and I want to be like Jesus. And I hope and pray you do too. Because as people see us and how we live and how we love, they'll know that we are indeed Christians without us saying a word. So as the band leads us in this last song, let it sink in that we want the world to know that we are Christians by the way we live and the way we love. Let's stand, please.